a prisoner in Saudi. Within the class, I mentioned him a few times. I mentioned a letter he had sent where he was congratulating me and my father upon our release and making dua for my mother. He had just found out, and from within the deep, dark cells of the Saudi prisons, he had sent that letter. So I announced that, if you remember, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his release. And what happened is there's a campaign, a Twitter campaign about him, in support of him. And that's what I want to talk about. He's, first of all, a'alim. He's no ordinary imam. He's a sheikh, and he's inshallah, inshallah, an imam. When we said we're going to hold part three of the graduates of Yusuf, the proud graduates of Yusuf alayhi salam, he was going to be a main part of it. But I was just contacted by some brothers in the Arabian Peninsula to help in a very important and honorable thing. And to us in the States and in the West, it may seem like it's a small thing, but it's actually a big thing. First of all, it's big to Allah, who calculates every mustard, deed, weight, or atom of deed. And He puts it on your balance on the judgment day. To you, it may be small, but to Allah, it's huge. It may be what tips your scale and gets you to Firdaus. Showing mercy and compassion to this man may be a means for Allah to show you mercy and compassion when you stand before Him on the judgment day. Simple little tweet. That's all it is. There's a campaign to raise awareness to his release and his conditions. And let me just give you quickly a brief biography about this man. He graduated from Jamiat al-Imam from Riyadh right about the same time. Actually, I graduated from Medina. And he, right when he graduated, he was appointed as a teacher in the Aqidah section. And he had many shaykh, so he's not a drive-by shaykh, the ones who pop up suddenly on YouTube. He's a shaykh, very well learned, and has many shaykh. And among his shaykh are Al-Rajihi, Al-Farraj, Al-Atram, Al-Duwesh, and Al-Sidhan. Even the Mufti of Saudi today was one among his shaykh. Shaykh Nasir Al-Fahd memorizes the 9 books of hadith. You hear what I said? Nasir al-Fahd memorizes 9 books of hadith, not 9 volumes. Each one is volumes. He memorizes the 9 books of hadith, the first 9 books of hadith, which is Sahih al-Bukhari. And you all have Sahih al-Bukhari. Look how many volumes it is. Most of you have Sahih Muslim. Look how many volumes it is. Sunan Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Muwatta Malik, and Sunan al-Darimi. All those, each one of them is volumes, and he memorizes it. So he doesn't just understand, he also memorizes. Also, he memorizes 20 of the essential books on the principle of Islam, some in Aqidah, some in Fiqh. He memorizes them and understands them. He also, 20, that's in addition to the books of Hadith. He also wrote within his prison stay 65 books he authored. He wrote 65 books. And this is solid, authentic information. If it wasn't 100% true, I wouldn't even mention it. You may agree with him on certain matters. You may disagree with him. He's not infallible, nor is anyone after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is not the time to discuss it. If you have something against any of his fatwa, a true believer, this is not the time to discuss it. When he gets out and is able to defend himself and debate you, and he has always called those who debate, those who are against him, come on, let's debate. And then he called, said, let's go mubahala. He has said it several times from within the prison walls and before that. So he has said that. When he gets out, then you can go and say, this man did this and I disagree with you on this and that. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu annahu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, انصر أخاك ظالما أو مظلوما انصر أخاك ظالما أو مظلوما فقال رجل يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنصره إذا كان مظلوما أفرأيت إذا كان ظالما كيف أنصره قال تحجزه أو تمنعه من الظلم فإن ذلك نصره. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. A man who came to the Prophet ﷺ And the Prophet ﷺ before that had said, give victory to your brother oppressed or oppressor. He confused the people with that statement. Give victory to oppressor, oppressed or oppressor. Why would the most eloquent man on the face of the earth, from the heart of the most eloquent tribe ever, say it in a way to confuse people? Why would the man who used to speak so gentle, that one would be so gentle, so nice, so slow, that one who he spoke to would able to count and memorize his words before he left? Why did he word it like that? He worded it like that because he doesn't want you to think that you can go and be with the oppressor against your brother. Even if your brother's wrong. Even if your brother's wrong, you rescue him out of that oppression, then you direct him. You stop him if he's wrong before that. And if he falls under oppression, you take him out of it and then you guide him. You don't go to the man with the whip and tell him, give him 10 more lashes, he's wrong. You take him out of that situation and you give him victory. You don't go to the man who has him in prison and you say, give him more, 10 more years. You take him out of the hardship and you stop him and you correct his errors. You taught us not to oppress. He's telling the Prophet, you taught us not to oppress. So how are you telling us to give an oppressor victory? He said, go to your brother and you stop him from oppressing. Go to your brother, not to the one he's under his rule, in control, who's harming him and oppressing him. Go to your brother. Nasr al-Fahd just asked the prisons how many times the goon squads went in and entered the cell. You know what the goon squads are? This is a group who, if there's troublemaker, they're top-notch trained officers. Physically, they're very, very strong. They gear up with plastic and leather, and they wear their helmets and batons and their shield, and they force their way into a cell. The goon squad beats and restrains this man, this sheikh, and is the goon squad for this little man in his own cell. All that to get a little sheikh, a man who memorizes the 9 books of hadith. You think he's ill-mannered? You think he's a troublemaker? For the goon squad to go and beat him down in his own cell? When in Hajjaj was as bad as he was, he had 2 issues one time. One was with an enemy. And one was with a woman called Ghazal al-Kharijiyah. The enemy, he backed away from a war. And Ghazal al-Kharijiyah was a woman who took advantage of that. Everywhere he goes, she follow him and disrespect him. Until he ran away from her. So he ran away from the outside enemy. And then he began to run away from Ghazala. So Umran al-Shaybani, who was a poet who died 84 years after the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, wrote 2 lines about this man, degrading him. He said, Asadun alayya wa fil hurubi na'amatun, rabda'a tajfulu min safir al-safirin. A lion on us, because he used to kill and torture and prison his people. A lion on us, but in a war is an ostrich who flees away from the whistling of a whistle. In the wars, you're an ostrich, but a man. هَلَّا بَرَجْتَ إِلَىٰ غَزَالَةَ فِي الْوَغَىٰ بَلْ كَانَ قَلْبُكَ فِي جَنَاحَيْ طَائِرِ. He told her, why don't you go stand up to Ghazala even? You couldn't stand up to the enemy. Why don't you go stand up to Ghazala? You ran away from her like a bird runs away from a human being when he gets near him. He ran away from the woman like a bird, and he ran away from the outside enemy like an ostrich. But to his own people, he was slaughtering, killing, and imprisoning. From the same thing today. From Iran, their cowards kissing their feet, seeking anything to please them. Those who curse Abu Bakr and Umar inside their own borders, they give them whatever they want. Dialogue. Let's have dialogue. Let's give them, when any one of them is in prison, he gets the best medical treatment. He gets treated good. And then so suddenly, he gets released with a pardon. But the people of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah get tortured with a goon squad. And then to the outside enemy, they're out in Austria and Vienna right now as we speak, promoting the call of kufr that their own scholars call it the call of kufr. Then they go in and they throw Nasr al-Fahd and tie his hands and feet behind his back as one of the times that the goon squad went in there. He gets dragged on his back through the halls of the prison. He gets dragged on his back through the halls of the prison. He gets thrown on his face and one of the officers puts his foot on his face. Does the face of any human, even a non-Muslim, deserve for someone's feet to go on their face? Does a face that memorizes the Quran deserve a shoe on top of it? Does a head that has the nine books of hadith in it deserve a shoe on top of it? Is this the ummah of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? And then Nasir al-Fahd gets thrown on the ground and they tie his hands and his feet together. Imagine, he's on his stomach. Imagine this. And his hands and feet are tied together. And they keep him in his cell all day. His hands and feet tied together just like this. And he's laying on his stomach. He was able to break, cut away his right arm. Get it loose. He wasn't able to get his left arm out of it because it was paralyzed. And it remained paralyzed for a month after that. And until today, his thumb is still numb from that incident. He hasn't gotten medical treatment. Numb, you know, as you know, that causes numbness and permanent numbness when a hand or a body part is paralyzed for a long time. He gets put to sit on some type of a metal. And he sat on it, very, very hot metal for 4 hours. It made him so sick that he said he prayed for some time with only his eyes. He made the salah with his eyes only, gesture. When he needed the bathroom, if he did need it, he would crawl on his stomach to go use the bathroom. A woman, the Prophet taught us, goes to hell for imprisoning a cat. What do we say about those who do this to an imam? I ask every Muslim who is here. I ask every Muslim who will hear this in the future. If you didn't see, not a human being, I'm not going to say a human being. I say if you've seen a cat, if you've seen a dog with his hands and legs tied together, would you leave him like that? Wallahi, I ask you by Allah. We're asking you to help untie it. Untie the hands and legs of a human being. With a simple tweet, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use it as means to release him, inshallah. They did not give him medical treatment after he was ill from that metal seat, that hot metal seat that they put him on for 4 hours and we got sick. He remained 5 days unable to eat nor drink. And when he was on the verge of dying, literally dying, they went and took him and got him medical treatment to pump more life into him so they can torture him more. In the prison years, he's been in prison for 9 years. Six out of those last 9 years, his family, all his family, no one has ever seen him or spoke to him or heard his voice. When someone recently got released, he said, I seen him in court. They took him to court together. He said, I know I'm going to die in prison like Ibn Taymiyyah. If he dies, he dies. He dies in honor. But what about you who's able to possibly help in a tweet? That's all it is. A call for a tweet, and you don't even do that. In my life, alhamdulillah, for me personally, I've never asked for anything. Da'wah, and no one can say that. Da'wah, I've never asked for money or wealth or during my hardships. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. For marriage, for divorce, for lectures, for seminars, for classes, even though some offered generous offers recently, never did I take, alhamdulillah, nothing. Even before that, when I was gone and my father was gone and my family went through the utmost hardship, we didn't take nothing. But actually, that was a little bit different. They weren't offered nothing when we were in the hardship. But today, I'm asking not for me. That's my point. I'm asking for a brother to send out tweets for him. Sheikh Al-Alwan, who was just released from prison, I just wrote an article about him a week, subhanAllah, a week before he was released. And I asked the brothers to make dua for him. He was released, and of course, that all goes back to Allah. Allah says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي ذَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. But there are means Allah uses to give victory, like the stick of Musa. And among the means that some analysts wrote about why they released Al-Alwan is because of what was going on in Twitter. There was a campaign. When I wrote the article, there was a campaign going on. And this was a week before his release. Alhamdulillah, Allah released him. He wasn't released because he was found innocent in court. There's no court, there's no charges to begin with. He wasn't released because he was not guilty. There's no courts for these kind of people. They just take them and throw them in prison. No trials or anything. The pressure, it was a means Allah used to get him out, alhamdulillah ta'ala. This was a man who memorizes the 6 books of hadith. He knows the men in the narration like he knows his own kids. And he's in prison in there for 9 years. Here we may not understand it fully, but the campaign of Twitter, we may not understand its effect. But over there, it's effective, especially as the downfall is lurking over their skies and it's knocking on their doors. Those who were better than them, if you read the history, look at the Bidayah wa Nihayah, those who were better than them had their downfall. So you don't think they're going to have their downfall? They're not going to live forever. Point of this is inside the Arabian Peninsula, they're doing a campaign Twitter to escalate the release of the Sheikh. They do it systematically there. What they do is they specify a certain time, certain day, just like a peaceful protest, except it's not a peaceful protest, it's a Twitter protest. Whether it works or not, that is in Allah's hand. But ma'ziratan ila rabbikum. The organizers, like I said, had called me and they said, if we get some from the West to add to this, they help us campaign a little bit and it's coming from the West, it might help. We actually have hope it will help. What it is there's a specific hashtag on Twitter. Inshallah, we'll specify it on my site or some other sites. And at one time, inshallah, next Tuesday at 5 p.m. in New York and 10 p.m. in London and 9 a.m. in Sydney on December 18th, this Tuesday, coming up Tuesday, a week from today, all you do is send the hashtag and send simple tweet, whatever you want to tweet, free now, but at that specific time, because it's like a protest. So it's going to be at that same time. Free Nasser al-Fahd, help Nasser al-Fahd, he's being tortured. Freedom to Nasser al-Fahd, possibly say, let him get his medical treatment, let him get a trial, anything to raise sympathy and awareness, maybe Allah will reward you in abundance on this, on the judgment day. And of course, like I said, it's 100% legal, nothing going to be said for those who are scared or anything. There's nothing going to be said of violence or anything that's illegal about it. Sheikh Sulaiman Al-Alwan, who was just released from prison, among the things he said, keep everybody in prison in your dua, especially Nasser Al-Fahd, the man that we're talking about. You know why? Because he's undergoing a special treatment. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Fukku Al-Ani. Any prisoner is a Ani. Al-Ani is a prisoner. Ibn Al-Athir said, anyone who's belittled or degraded is a Ani. So imagine a prisoner who's belittled, degraded, and tortured. That's a'ani, 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 a'ani. In Sahih Muslim, in Sahab al-Sunan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. A Muslim is a brother of Muslim. He doesn't turn his back on him. يَخْذُلُ means turn your back on your brother. Means refuse to give support or victory to your brother. That's what it means. Scholars said, if it's a brother seeks the help of a brother, he must help him. He's obligated to do so unless, the exception is, unless he has a legitimate excuse. وَإِنْ اسْتَنْصَرُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَعَلَيْكُمُ النَّصَرُ. If they seek victory near the deen, you got to give them victory. The scholars of Islam have said, if the state, look at this, if the state was to spend the entire treasury from the Muslims, Muslim money, to free the captive, it wouldn't be a waste. So if all the money goes to free the captives, it wouldn't be, because back then they used to ask for ransom. Likewise, similar today would be attorney bills or anything of that sort. In Tafsir al-Qurtubi, Imam Malik rahimahullah says, about the matter of the captives, it's obligatory upon the people to ransom the prisoners. Obligatory. يعني فرض, واجب. With all that which they possess, the money they possess. And there's no difference in this, and because back then it was ransom. There's no difference amongst this, amongst the ulama and fuqaha. There's no dispute. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, secure the release of the captives. Meaning, you have to secure their release. And he went on to say, also you must comfort them. Comfort them mean, what would be today, probably send them letters, take care of their family, look out for their family. In Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, for me to release one prisoner would be better for me than the entire Arabian Peninsula. And Shaykh al-Islam has many quotes on this. And Shaykh al-Islam has a quote in volume 28, page 635, who said, فَكُّ الْأَسَارَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَبَذْلِ الْمَالِ الْمَوْقُوفُ وَغَيْرِ فِي ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْقُرُبَاتِ. freeing prisoners is among the most honorable of the ordains. Honorable of the ordains. Ordains, the one of the most honorable. And giving wealth to free them, like attorneys or whatever it may be, is among the most honorable things to do to bring you closer to Allah. So, a simple Twitter protest next Tuesday, inshallah, everyone said a message to the hashtag, free him, try him. Everyone around in this area will be around 5 p.m. So you're either at work, and I'm sure everyone has an iPhone or a phone that has Twitter on it. And if not, you can use it through the browser on your phone. Be prepared, and at that specific time, send a hashtag, free him, may Allah hasten his release, we love him, whatever. This is your brother. Even if your brother's wrong in matters, you gotta still love him. Wallahi, that little tweet that you think of nothing today may be what would tip your scale and take you to Firdaus, as I said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten his release. And hasten the release, maybe after him. Now it's Al-Alwan, and then inshallah this scholar, and Khalid al-Rashid inshallah, and the rest of the scholars, and the rest of the Ummah. May Allah hasten the release. The release of Sister Nam'a Yusuf, who's today going to, or tomorrow going to trial in San Diego, California. I don't know, wallahi, much about her case. I have no idea about her, but I know sister's going through a hardship. May Allah break the shackles of all the brothers and sisters throughout the world. Oh Allah, they are in urgent need of your mercy. So send upon them your mercy, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, whoever tries to harm him, then save him, save our brothers and protect them. Whoever tries to harm him, then harm him. Whoever shows